Today on Fellowship in the Word, Pastor Bill Gebhardt challenges you to become a fully functioning follower of Jesus Christ.
See, we're all going to be changed. You're not just going to be a better version of you. You're going to be the best version of you. All right? That might mean that we don't recognize each other right away in heaven. You see? I mean, the point of it is that it's unimaginable what I'll be like or you'll be like. It's going to be perfect. You're going to be completely changed. Physically, you'll be different. In 1 John chapter 3, John says, we will be like him. Perfect morally. Perfect character.
Thank you for joining us today on this edition of Fellowship in the Word with Pastor Bill Gebhardt. Fellowship in the Word is the radio ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, located in Metairie, Louisiana. Let's join Pastor Bill Gebhardt now as once again he shows us how God's Word meets our world.
I think sometimes Christians think of heaven is something like a mystical place, and you just sort of float around, and you know, you might see a few people from time to time. But do you realize when you're absent from the body, you're present with the Lord, not with somebody who knows the Lord? Oh, he's way up there, but I know him, but I've seen him a couple of times. No, you'll be present with the Lord. That makes such a difference. This past week, I read this amazing story. It was a story about Raymond Edmond. Several years ago, Raymond Edmond was the chancellor of Wheaton College in Chicago, probably one of the finest Christian institutions in the United States. And he was the chaplain of it. And he was doing a chapel service as the chancellor of the school. And in his sermon, he spoke about meeting the emperor of Ethiopia, Haile Selassie. And what an amazing honor it was to be in Haile Selassie's presence. And he went on and explained in the sermon that when you go into his presence, there's all kinds of protocol that you had to follow so that you could follow the protocol perfectly so that you could come into the presence of the emperor of Ethiopia. And as he was making that point, Dr. Raymond Edmond fell over and died at the pulpit. As he was making that point, he fell over and died at the pulpit. Now, wow, that's more sobering for me than you even. But but the point is, you might have heard the man who did his funeral for him. His name was Billy Graham. And Dr. Graham said that as he was speaking about being in the presence of an earthly emperor, he found himself in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Like, what a way to go, huh? I mean, and I don't have a death wish, but that is an amazing way to go when you really think about that. Death is fellowship with Christ. Faith enables us to face the reality of death. See, our faith should change our view of death. There's nothing to be afraid of here, folks. There's absolutely nothing. If you can get a hold of this in your own mind, it gives you so much peace compared to so much turmoil that so many people face. Secondly, let's go back to Hebrews. Verse 16 of chapter 11, he says, "But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one." Faith will make you homesick for heaven. Faith will make you homesick for heaven. That's what he's telling us. Faith sees the promise of heaven. Faith sees the values of heaven. You see, what he is saying there is so interesting to me, because in verse 13, he said, all these died without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. They never saw the promises fulfilled. Even Abraham. You say, well, he saw Isaac. That's it. But what did God tell him? He's going to have this great land, the promised land, which he never got. He's going to have all these people that follow him. He's going to have a prodigy as numerous as the stars of heaven. He's going to see the whole world change because of him. He didn't see anything but Isaac. But it's something else about Abraham that's interesting here. It says that they confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, that they were looking or seeking or desiring something else. Do you see yourself that way? I mean, while we say, you know, well, I belong to this municipality and I live in this state and I'm part of this country. Listen, I'm going to tell you from the Word of God says, you're an exile and you're an alien. You're a citizen of heaven. That's really, really where you live. In fact, in Genesis 23, Sarah had died and Abraham needed a burial plot. And so he went to these people and he said, can I buy a burial plot here for myself and my wife? And they said, wait, you're the guy that they said is inheriting all the land. And he said, no, I'm just an alien here. I need to buy a plot for our burial. That's how he saw himself. An amazing thing when you think about it. So faith enables us to face the reality of death. It also makes us homesick, he says, for heaven. Notice then what else also God says in verse 16. He says, therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. He's prepared a city for them. God is not ashamed to be called their God. I never think of God having shame, but that's an interesting thought. It'd be like God saying, you know, Abraham? Yeah. I'm his God. Maybe more unbelievable, you know, Bill? Yeah, I'm his God. You see, I'm not ashamed of this. I never even think of that. Wow, I'm his God. He said, I love his perspective. I'm his God. I'm his God. I'm his friend. That's the amazing thing about the Lord. He said, I am his God. He said, and I go and I'm making him. Notice, he said, and I'm making a city for him. Amazing. Faith enables us to face the reality of death, and it also will make us homesick for heaven. And it's ultimately faith that will bring us home. It's our faith that'll bring us home. Do you really have any idea how wonderful heaven is? Now, you say, well, Bible doesn't tell us a lot about heaven. That's true. I get that. But it tells us enough that you and I should be just giddy happy of what heaven's like and what can happen to us in heaven. Heaven is a place where God fully reveals his character and his blessings. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. The first two verses. I love these verses. John writes, he said, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There are no longer any sea. And then he says this, and I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. Don't miss that phrase. You know, normally when we're talking about the imagery in heaven, by the way, who's the bride? We are. Who do we marry? Christ. He's the groom. That's Revelation 19. He's the bride and we're the groom. That's not what happens here. God reverses it. He says, I've made this new city for you. This gigantic 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 mile cube, whatever that means. He said, it's incredible. But he said, I want to tell you how special it is. He said, notice what he says. He says, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, ladies, I want you to be honest here. What day of your life did you look better than any other day? Right? You never see someone who's going to be a bride and say, nah, I don't care how I look. That's a day where you're all adorned, right? And I'm fortunate enough because if I officiate the thing, I'm standing with the groom. And then here comes the bride music comes on. He looks up the aisle and goes, oh, you know, like she looks great. That's what God's trying to say here. You see, why did he make this city as a bride being adorned for her wedding? For us. He said, I made that for you. I made this incredibly massive, beautiful thing for you. Wow. See, that to me is that to me is such an amazing thing for us. We should be so excited about it. But he even takes it further. It's not just on the macro like this. Wow, look at this city and that's all for me. He takes it to the micro. Go with me to John 14 for a moment. Same writer, John, this time Jesus speaking in John 14. Jesus' first verse in John 14 is because he knows people like you and me. He knows what we're like. Notice he starts out, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. I mean, if we're really honest, you see, we're troubled by it. There are so many people and Christians that are just almost paralyzed because of their fear of dying. He says, don't be troubled. Please, don't be troubled by that. See, he's pleading with us. Don't be troubled by that. Don't let that bother you. He said, let me explain. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. And I go and I prepare a place for you. Now he goes from the macro, the New Jerusalem, down to his Father's house. And he says, in my Father's house, there are a lot of dwelling places. It's not communal living. You have your own dwelling place. And he says, and I go and I prepare a place for you. For you. For you. I go and prepare a place for you. Wow. And then notice, he expands that. And he goes on and says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I go and prepare this for you. I'm going to come back and take you. And I'm going to take you to the place so you and I will be together. You see, don't let your heart be troubled. What are you afraid of? You see, it's such a different perspective. I think so often we live our lives saying, you know, I just hope that, when I'm dead, that there's some place called heaven and I hope it's good for me. But that's not what the scripture says at all. It says so much more. Psalm 16, verse 11, in your presence there is the fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. It reveals the presence of God, the glory of God. In Jesus' priestly prayer, in John 17, he's praying to the Father and he says, Father, I want those you have given me, that's us, to be with me where I am. And I want them to see my glory. That's such a neat thing. I want them to be with me and I want them to see my glory. You see, if you see all this in eyes of faith, I'm going to tell you, you won't be able to wipe the smile off your face. You see, that's why he's telling us that, to encourage us in that way. Heaven is a place where God makes you completely new. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Right near the end of the chapter. The whole chapter is about the resurrection. But Paul wants to take it a little bit further than that. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 51. He starts out with a rapture verse in 51. He says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. If you happen to be here, you won't die during the rapture, but you will be changed. He said, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed in an instant. He said, this perishable must put on the imperishable. The mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where's your victory? O death, where is your sting? See, we're all going to be changed. You're not just going to be a better version of you. You're going to be the best version of you. All right? That might mean that we don't recognize each other right away in heaven. You see? I mean, the point of it is that it's unimaginable what I'll be like or you'll be like. It's going to be perfect. You're going to be completely changed. Physically, you'll be different. In 1 John chapter 3, John says, we will be like him. Perfect morally, perfect character. And then in Scripture, it says often we will be spiritually perfect. Back to Revelation 21 for a moment. Revelation 21, the heavenly state, verses 3 and 4. I stopped in verse 2. He said, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them. They shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things, he says, have passed away. Perfect. No sorrow, no sin. And he doesn't say, I'm going to do this from a distance. I'm going to be right among them. He said, that's the way this is going to work. Heaven is where we will also realize our destiny to worship God. A.W. Tozer said this, I believe that the reverential fear of God mixed with love and fascination and astonishment and adoration and devotion is the most enjoyable state and the most purifying emotion a human heart can know. Talking about worship, John Calvin said, the proper adoration of God is the primary purpose of our faith. They're both right. A warning from A.W. Tozer, he said, I can safely say on the authority of all that is revealed in the Word of God, that every man or woman on this earth who is bored or put off by worship is not ready for heaven. What a place of worship. And why wouldn't we worship him? You have life. That's a gift. You're a creature who was given a gift. You got the gift of life. You have personality. You have thought. You have creativity. All these are gifts to you from God. He's created us. And then when we sinned, he redeemed us. And then he raised us from the dead. He's blessed us. He loves us. Who wouldn't want to worship God who'd give you that? Everything great in your life is a gift from God. He said, there we will be finally able to worship God. And we have perfect fellowship, he says, with him and with others. Look at chapter 22 of Revelation and verse 3. There we will serve God. He says, there will no longer be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and the bondservants will serve him. You say, what are we going to do in heaven? We're not playing harps, okay? It's not floating on clouds. We're going to serve God. Now, the question might be, and I get this once more, well, what are we going to do? And I have no idea, but I can tell you this, it has limits. The limits of what we will do in heaven is going to be limited by God's power and God's imagination. That's the limit. Which means there are no limits. It says we will serve him. Meaningful purpose in life forever. We're going to serve God. It's not like we're just sitting around waiting. It's not like that at all. It says his bondservants will serve him. Everything that I do in service for God now is just a fraction of what I'll do then. Leighton Ford had a son named Sandy, and he died suddenly as a very young man. And he was a committed follower of Christ, and he made a difference in a lot of lives. And when a really young Christian dies, the response most of us have is the same as this missionary friend. On hearing the news, the missionary friend wrote to the Fords and said, the first thought I had is, what a waste. Don't we always feel that way? If someone's really doing something wonderful and they die young, you go, what a waste. What a waste. God was using him in such a great way. He said, my first thought was, what a waste. But then I thought, we're so earthbound. Sandy's highest service has just begun. You see, his highest service has just begun. It's not like it's over. It's just beginning. They're going to serve God forever. Heaven is a place of rest and reward, and heaven is a place of glorification. That's what he tells us, this wonderful place of glorification. If you live your life with your destination in mind, it'll change you. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Instead of being disappointed in your health or disappointed in your husband or wife or disappointed in your job or disappointed in the way people act, You won't be. You'll be full of joy. You know the outcome. You see, you know what awaits you. That perspective of keeping heaven in the crosshairs makes all the difference in the world in everyday life for you and for me. And just like Apollo 13 needed to keep their eyes focused on their destination, we have to too. And when we do that, our faith enables us to face the reality of death. Our faith will make us homesick for heaven, and faith will bring us home. That's the point. That's why God tells us that much. I'm going to close with an illustration. When Ronald Reagan was president of the United States, George Shultz was the Secretary of State. As Secretary of State, he would have to be the person that appointed ambassadors to different countries. So he'd bring him into his office, and in his office he had a big giant globe, and then he would have them walk over to the globe and he'd say, point to your country. And he said they would always look on the globe and spin it and point to the country that they're being assigned to. And he said all went well until Mike Mansfield, who was a longtime senator, was going to get an appointment as the ambassador to Japan. And so he came in there and he walked Mike Mansfield over to the globe and he spun it and he said, now I want you to point to your country. And Mike Mansfield said, okay. He said, and he turned the globe around, moved it from Japan, and pointed his finger on the United States of America. And he said, that's my country. After that, Shultz said that I changed the way I did this. He said, I would tell every new appointee a story of Mike Mansfield. And I said, don't forget that you may be in that country, but your country is the United States. You are there to represent us, to take our interest, and never forget which country is really your country. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Don't forget what country is your country. You and I are citizens of heaven. We are viewed in the scriptures as aliens and exiles here. Don't forget your country, because you're going to be there forever. Let's pray. Father, so often we have lives filled with anxiety and stress because we get so preoccupied with all the circumstances that life brings us. Some of them are good, Father. Many of them are not. They're painful, difficult, confusing. And we become so preoccupied, we become despairing. And we have our lives filled with anxiety and worry, and we're trying to figure out how can we adapt to all these terrible things. But the writer of Hebrews was trying to tell his people that one of the most important things we can do is have a different perspective. We have to look for and seek our country, the city of God, the one you created as the architect for us. We are to be heavenly minded so that we can be earthly good. But more importantly, Father, we are to be heavenly minded so that we can cope with all the difficulties of this life. Father, I pray for any believer who is really struggling with the fear of dying, that they understand it's not an end, it's just the beginning. It's just a departure from this life to life forever. I pray, Father, that these truths become part of our lives for your glory and for our good. In Christ's name, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Bill Gephardt on the radio ministry of Fellowship in the Word. If you ever miss one of our broadcasts, or maybe you would just like to listen to the message one more time, remember that you can go to a great website called oneplace.com. That's oneplace.com, and you can listen to Fellowship in the Word online. At that website, you will find not only today's broadcast, but also many of our previous audio programs as well. At Fellowship in the Word, we are thankful for those who financially support our ministry and make this broadcast possible. We ask all of our listeners to prayerfully consider how you might help this radio ministry continue its broadcast on this radio station by supporting us monthly or with just a one-time gift. Support for our ministry can be sent to Fellowship in the Word, 4600 Clearview Parkway, Metairie, Louisiana, 7006. If you would be interested in hearing today's message in its original format, that is, as a sermon that Pastor Bo delivered during a Sunday morning service at Fellowship Bible Church, then you should visit our website, fbcnola.org. That's fbcnola.org. At our website, you will find hundreds of Pastor Bill's sermons. You can browse through our sermon archives to find the sermon series you are looking for, or you can search by title. Once you find the message you are looking for, you can listen online, or if you prefer, you can download the sermon and listen at your own convenience. And remember, you can do all this absolutely free of charge. Once again, our website is fbcnola.org. For Pastor Bill Gebhardt, I'm Jason Gebhardt, thanking you for listening to Fellowship in the Word.